जय राधा माधव कुंज विहार, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहार। গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, নিশ্চয় গৌর হারিব 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 জয় জয় প্রভু 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 জয় বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজকাচার্য অষ্টোত্তর চতুর্শী শ্রীমদ অভয় চরণারবিন্দ বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণববৃন্দ কি জয় নামাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয় প্রেম সে কহো শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাশাদি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপীনাথ শ্যাম কুণ্ড রাধা কুণ্ড গিরি গোবর্ধন কি শ্রী বৃন্দাবন ধাম কি জয় শ্রী মথুরা ধাম কি জয় শ্রী জগন্নাথপুরী ধাম কি জয় শ্রী মায়াপুর নবদ্বীপ ধাম কি জয় গঙ্গা মাই কি জয় যমুনা মাই কি জয় ভক্তি দেবী কি জয় তুলসী মহারানী কি জয় হরিনাম সংকীর্তন কি জয় গ্রন্থরাজ শ্রীমদ ভাগবতম কি জয় সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয় গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি হরি অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিজ অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিজ অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিজ অল গ্লোরিজ টু শ্রী গুরু অ্যান্ড শ্রী গৌরাঙ্গ অল গ্লোরিজ টু শ্রী প্রভুপাদ নমো ওম বিষ্ণুপদায় কৃষ্ণপৃষ্ঠায় ভূতলে শ্রীমতে ভক্তিবেদান্ত স্বামী নীতি নামিনে নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবী গৌরবাণী প্রচারিণী নির্বিশেষ শূন্যবাদ শীল প্রভুপাদ ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায় ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায় ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেব নারায়ণং নমস্কৃত্য নরং চৈব নরোত্তমং দেবীং সরস্বতীং ব্যাসং ততো জয়মুদীরয়ে নষ্টপ্রায়েষু অভদ্রেষু নিত্যং ভাগবত সেবায় ভগবতী উত্তম শ্লোকে ভক্তির ভবতি শ্রীমদ ভাগবতম ফোর্থ ক্যান্টো চ্যাপ্টার 24 টেক্সট 19 মৈত্রেয় উবাচ প্রচেতসহ বাক্যম শিরসাদয়া সাধবহ দিশং প্রতীচিং প্রয়ুষ তপসি আদৃতা চেতসহ মৈত্রেয় উবাচ প্রচেতাস পিতুর্বাক্যম শিরসাদায় সাধবহ দিশং প্রতীচিং প্রত্যয়ুষ তপসাদৃতচেতসহ প্রচেতাস পিতুর্বাক্যম शिवसादाय साधवः दीशं प्रतिचिन्तयो तपस्सात्विकचेतसः प्रचेतसा प्रचेतसा पितुर्वाक्यम् शिरसादाय साधवः दिशं प्रतिचिन्तयो तपस्सादृतचेतसः Maitreya Ubacha. The great sage Maitreya continued to speak. Prachetasaha. All the sons of King Prachinavartisha. Pituhu. Of the father. Vakyam. Words. Shirasa. On the head. Adaya, accepting. Sadavaha, all pious. Disham, direction. Pratichim, western. Prayayu, went away. Tapasi, in austerity. Adritaha, accepting seriously. Chetasaha, in the heart. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, because of their pious nature, all the sons of Prachinavarti very seriously accepted the words of their father with heart and soul. And with these words on their heads, they went toward the west to execute their father's order. Please repeat. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, because of their pious nature, all the sons of Prachinavarti very seriously accepted the words of their father with heart and soul. And with these words on their heads, they went toward the west to execute their father's order. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, sadhavaha, meaning pious or well-behaved, is very important, especially at the present moment. It is derived from the word sadhu. A perfect sadhu is one who is always engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prachina Varhi's sons are described as sadhavaha because of their complete obedience to their father. The father, king and spiritual master are supposed to be representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such they have to be respected as the Supreme Lord. It is the duty of the father, the spiritual master and the king to regulate their subordinates in such a way that they ultimately become fully unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Lord. That is the duty of the superiors, and it is the duty of the subordinates to obey the orders perfectly and in a disciplined way. The word shirasa on their heads is also significant. For the Prachetas accepted the orders of their father and carried them on their heads, which means they accepted them in complete surrender. Maitreya Ubacha Prachetasa Pitur Bhakyam Shirasadaya Sadhavaha Disham Pratichim Prayayus Tapasadrita Chetasaha. The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, because of their pious nature, all the sons of Prachina Varhi very seriously accepted the words of their father with heart and soul. And with these words on their heads, they went towards the west to execute their father's order." So, this chapter is entitled as Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. The conversation is going on, a discussion is going on between Vidura and Maitreya. After Krishna left the planet, Vidura actually was instructed. Vidura was instructed by Uddhava that Krishna wanted him to meet Maitreya Rishi, and because Krishna wanted him to receive instructions from Maitreya. So Vidura started to search for Maitreya, and then he came across him in Haridwar on the bank of the Ganges. And this discussion took place at that time. Vidura sat at the feet of Maitreya Rishi, and Maitreya Rishi started to instruct him about Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, just a little while ago, Vidura told him about the activities of Prithu Maharaj and how he went back to Godhead. To begin with, he was a Shaktavesh incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he went back to Godhead. And then Maitreya Rishi started to describe about his son and the line after him. Prithu Maharaj's eldest son was Vijitashva. And Vijitashva was such a powerful personality that he defeated Indra. And it has been described that although he was able to kill Indra, but he didn't do that. And they got into a conflict because Indra stole the horse of the 100th horse sacrifice that Prithu Maharaj was performing. He stole the horse, and while searching for the horse, Vijitashva came across Indra, found out that he was the one who stole the horse. And they got into conflict, he defeated Indra. And Indra, out of his gratitude towards him, he gave him the name Antardhan, that one who can disappear at his will. And Antardhan ruled for a long time after Prithu Maharaj left. And then his son became the king, Havidhan. So this way we can see that Srimad Bhagavatam is not some concocted stories. It's a historical record of different great personalities who blessed the world and displayed the exemplary devotion to the Supreme Personality of God. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam is. All these personalities were great devotees, whether they are sages or kings. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava. Jai Shri Shri Prahlad Narasimha Dev ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Pancha Tattva ki. So these are the descriptions of illustrious kings and saintly personalities who blessed this world. And their activities are so exemplary that just by hearing about those activities and meditating upon their activities, one develops the opportunity to become a devotee. The purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is simply to describe the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and inspire the living entities to become His devotees. So, this is this aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam where the activities of Prithu Maharaj and his descendants have been described. From Prithu came Vijitashya, Vijitashya's son Havirdhan. Havirdhan's son was Prachinavar. And Prachinavar, he got married to Shatadruti. And the beauty of Shatadruti has been described in such a way that just by seeing, both the demigods and demons fainted. Such a beauty that they just fainted seeing her beauty. So he got married to Shatadruti. And from Shatadruti, this Prachinavar he was born. And Prachinavar he was also a great warrior and king, and he was very much involved in the ritualistic aspects of the Vedas, Karmakanda section of the Vedas, performing sacrifices for the benefit of, for the sake of their sense gratification and material enjoyment. And his sons are the Prachetas, 10 sons. So when the king, the father, advised his sons to get married and continue the family line, they considered that in order to procreate, in order to give birth to qualified children, they have to perform austerities. So they left home and went towards the west, Prachiting দিশাং প্রচিতি, প্রাচ্য অ্যান্ড প্রতীচ্য, দ্য সংস্কৃত ওয়ার্ড প্রতীচি ইজ ওয়েস্ট অ্যান্ড প্রাচ্য ইজ দ্য ইস্ট, সো দে ওয়েন্ট টুয়ার্ডস দ্য ইস্ট, I'm sorry, they went towards the west, and there they came across Lord Shiva, and they received the benediction of Lord Shiva. That has been just described in last few verses. In response to Vidura's question, that darshan of Lord Shiva is very difficult. Not that so easily people get to see Lord Shiva. Now how did the Prachetas receive that good fortune? Like Lord Shiva is situated in the spiritual platform and he is not perceivable with our mundane eyes. So how these 10 sons of King Prachinabardhi get to see Lord Shiva and receive the benediction? And in response to that, Maitreya Rishi is stating this verse, Maitreya Uvacha, Maitreya Rishi said, that he started to describe here. Prachetasaha pitur vakyam shirasadaya sadha, that accepting the instructions of their father as their heart and soul and carrying the instruction on their heads, they left home and started to travel towards the west. And then it will come to how they came across Lord Shiva. They came to a very beautiful place, a beautiful large lake. It was so large that it looks like an ocean. And it's true, some large lakes do look like an ocean. Like when you go to Toronto or Canada, those five great lakes, it looks just like an ocean. You can't see the other lake. The waves are huge. And so they came across, but the thing is that the surface of the lake was very tranquil, very peaceful. And in the purport, Prabhupada actually pointed out that one of the qualifications, why they got to see Lord Shiva, because they were sadhavas. Prabhupada elaborated on that point, sadhava, saintly personality. They were pious, they were well behaved, which actually means that they are devotees. Only the devotees can acquire these good qualities. Jashasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura. One who develops devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the divine qualities become manifest in him. It's like automatic, as if it's just a natural consequence. You become a devotee, good qualities, all the divine qualities of the demigods will become manifest. Devotee means soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of God. And when one in this way surrenders himself unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his heart becomes purified. Paramo nirmat sarana sata. Another definition of a saintly person, sadhu, sata. That his heart is completely pure. What are the contaminations of the heart? Lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride, envy. Now Nirmat Sarana, whose heart has become devoid of envy. Now the last thing to conquer is actually, or the last impurities to get rid of from the heart is envy, matsarya. And nirmatsarana, who is free from matsarya, or envy. So when the heart becomes free from envy, that means his heart has already become free from lust, greed, anger, illusion and pride. And that's why nirmatsarana. Then only one becomes qualified to understand the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. The subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam is the complete glorification, the absolute glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. And the qualification to understand Vedyam. Vedyam. The word Vedyam means to understand. One becomes eligible to understand Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Taputrayam. This Vastava Vastu, the absolute reality, the transcendental nature of the Lord. Vastav, the reality, the absolute reality. The material nature is a reflected reality. But the spiritual nature is the actual reality, the absolute reality. So when one becomes devoid of impurities of the heart, then only he becomes eligible to understand the transcendental nature, the absolute reality, ultimate reality, which is Shivadam, which brings peace in the heart. Then the heart becomes completely pacified, completely peaceful. And then Tapotrayanun Mulanam, the threefold miseries of material existence is uprooted. So this process is actually a scientific process. You do this and it will happen. Science is something that can be experimentally verified. The definition of science is the facts that can be experimentally verified, or experimentally verified facts. That is the meaning of the word scientific. And Krishna consciousness is scientific, absolutely scientific. You do this and that is it. You surrender to Krishna, all your miseries will disappear and your heart will not only become peaceful, your heart will become joyful. One may question, how will that happen? The answer is, try it and you will see how it will happen. So that is how it is an absolute truth. Sattam param, param satyam, absolute truth. Not only Krishna is the absolute truth, Krishna's nature is also the absolute truth. Everything there is absolute truth. And this is the qualification of a sadhava, sadhu. The one who is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of God. Then automatically, all the impurities from his heart disappears and all the divine qualities become manifest in him. He may not have gone to the school or college or university. Apparently from the material calculation he may be illiterate, but he will become the most wise and the most learned. Like you can see, which school did Vasudev go to? Which college did Sukadev Goswami go to? Or which university? Sukadev Goswami, just after his birth, he left home, went to the forest. So this is the thing, Divya Gyan Hride Prakashito. The transcendental knowledge automatically become manifest in the heart. And then, as it has been described, Vedam Vastava Matra Vastu. He becomes situated, he becomes aware of the absolute reality, Vastava Matra Vastu. And it has been described as Jashmin Vigyate Sarvam Evam Vigyatam Bhavati. Knowing this, everything becomes known. Knowing Him, everything becomes known. If you get to know Krishna, you get to know everything. Now from the material perspective, it's very difficult to understand how it can be possible. Just knowing one, you get to know everything. But in this respect, there is a beautiful analogy. When the sun comes up in the sky, then don't you get to see the sun? Don't you get to see yourself in that light? And don't you get to see everything in that light? Just seeing the sun, you get to see everything. Similarly, by understanding Krishna, we get to know everything. We don't separately have to get to know anything else. We simply have to get to know Krishna. And everything will be known. We'll become situated in absolute knowledge. Although apparently the person had been apparently illiterate. Like for example, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Apparently, he was an illiterate. But the most learned scholar of that time, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, decided to accept him as his teacher. Why? Because he realized that he is the most learned person on the planet. He saw that he is the wisest person. Why? Because he knew Krishna. And that is what all that one needs to have. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki. And we see the nature of a devotee, the sadhava. A devotee never claims that he is a great devotee. He always places himself as if he is nobody. There are three categories of devotees. Neophyte, second class and first class. Neophyte devotee is the one who thinks not only that he is the greatest devotee, but he thinks that he is the only devotee. Archaya vibharaye pujang yashraddha yate natat bhakteshu chanesh sa bhakta prakrita smita. This is the definition of a neophyte. He thinks that he is the only, he accepts Krishna. And he worships Krishna with great respect. Pujanya sraddhaye hati. But he doesn't recognize his devotees. That means he doesn't think that anybody else is a devotee of Krishna. Only he is the devotee of Krishna. then the second class devotee is he who recognizes devotees and also recognizes the innocent and offenders. And accordingly he treats them. Ishvare, that means to Krishna, he has love, prema. To the devotees he has maitri. To the innocent he has kripa, mercy. And to the offenders, upeksha, neglect. Ishvare tadadhineshu visatsu, Ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu visatsu cha prema maitri kripa upekha ja karati samadhyama. So this is the second class devotee. But mark the definition of the first class devotee. The definition of first class devotee is sarva bhuteshu ja pashyet bhagavad bhava mahatmana. He sees that everybody else has become devotees of Krishna. Only he himself couldn't become devotee. See the difference between a neophyte and Uttamadhikari. Neophyte devotee thinks that he is the only devotee and no one else is a devotee. And Uttamadhikari thinks everybody else has become a devotee, only he himself couldn't become a devotee. So that is how it works. The more one makes advancement, more he recognizes his insignificant situation and he recognizes the greatness of others. So much so that he thinks that everybody else has become a devotee, only he couldn't become a devotee himself. And that's how it works. It has been very wonderfully demonstrated in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, first part. Narad Muni is searching for a devotee, searching for the best devotee. And he sees the Brahmana performing the worship of Shaligram on the bank of the Ganges, in the Triveni Sangam in Prayag. And he is so impressed seeing his devotion. Narad Muni goes to him and tells him that, look, you must be the greatest devotee of God. And he says, me devotee? I don't have a speck of devotion in me. Whatever I am doing is simply, it is my duty of my ashram. I am a Brahmana, I have to worship the deities, therefore I am worshipping the Shaligram Shri. There is no devotion in that. If you really want to see a devotee, then go to such and such king in South India. He goes to the king and he sees his very, very exalted position as a devotee. Such a wonderful devotee. Although he is so busily engaged, so much engaged in his royal responsibilities, but he is worshipping the Lord in such a wonderful way. So he begins to glorify him as the greatest devotee. And the king says, no, I am not a devotee. Actually, Indra is the greatest devotee. So Narad Muni then goes to Indra and he told him why Indra is such a great devotee. He's such a great devotee that Lord has become his younger brother. And he receives his offerings with his own hands. But when he goes to Indra and starts to describe him, his glories, then Indra became embarrassed. He said, no, I am not a devotee. Brahma is a real devotee. So he goes to Brahma and starts to glorify him as the greatest devotee. Brahma gets really upset with him. He said, Narad, how many times I have to tell you not to speak like that? So then he says, the real devotee is Lord Shiva. So he goes to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva says, no, the real devotee is Prahlad. He goes to Prahlad. Prahlad says, no, the real devotee is Hanuman. And they all are justifying their statements. Why? Like for example, Prahlad is saying, now how can you consider me to be a devotee? I never rendered any service to the Lord. As a little boy, I just depended upon Him when I was in difficulty. And the Lord, out of His causeless mercy, came and rescued me. Where do you see devotion? Just consider the amount of service that Hanuman has rendered. And he started to describe the glory of Hanuman's service to the Lord. What he did for him. So Narad Muni goes to Hanuman. And when he starts to describe him as the greatest devotee, Hanuman starts to cry. He said, if I was a devotee, then why did he reject me? Disappeared from me and I never get to see him. And then he says, real devotees are the Pandavas. Because see, the Lord is always with them. You are saying that I am His devotee, but He is never with me. He just plunged me in an ocean of sorrow due to His separation. But the Pandavas, He is so merciful upon them that He is always with them. Whenever they need Him, He just appears and helps them out from their difficulties. Then He goes to the Pandavas. The Pandavas says, we are not the devotees. The real devotees are the Jadavas. The Lord allowed them to be born in the same family. The Lord appeared in that family. And He is with them all the time. He goes to the Jadavas. Then they pointed out Uddhav to be the best devotee. And in this way, ultimately, he finds out that Srimati Radharani is the greatest devotee. Not that Radharani admitted that she is the greatest devotee. But just by the attitude, just from Krishna's attitude towards her, it became apparent that she is the greatest devotee. Anyway, so this is the nature of a devotee, and the devotee never thinks that he is a devotee. He simply sees the greatness of other devotees. He sees the greatness of the Lord and he sees the greatness of the devotees of the Lord who are so lovingly rendering their devotional service as an expression of their love for Him. For the sake of their love for the Lord, they are prepared to do anything. That is. So that is a sadhu, that is a sadhava, that is satam. Satam prasangan mama bija samhita. So this is the way to recognize a devotee. That they are always talking about shinnanti gayanti sadhava. They are always constantly hearing and chanting it. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question or comment? Okay, Hare Krishna. Yes, Mishra Bhagavan. Before I forget, you did something and obviously you wanted to say something. Like the way the mridanga at the beginning of the class, you went and placed the mridanga. It was in a standing position you put it. Actually, I thought that devotees should know. Maybe you can say why you did that. Say it.
Well, actually in my enthusiasm to try to push something that Srila Prabhupada had said a few times, that the Madanga should be on its side, I might have actually cracked this Madanga.
Yeah, okay. So that's what I thought, to make it, make everyone aware of it. What Mishra Bhagavan wanted to point out, that the Mridanga shouldn't be kept on standing position, but it should be on a flat position. And for that, maybe you all can make some arrangements. There is a thing called Veera, that around ring kind of a thing, and place the Mridanga. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. What I wanted to ask is that some of us came to ISKCON before Srila Prabhupada left the planet and became initiated as his disciples. And then after Prabhupada left the planet, many, many more devotees have come to ISKCON and become his grand disciples. And sometimes those of us who are, we get treated with some kind of special recognition because we happened to come in 1974 instead of 1984 or 94 or 2004. But we can see that although we're treated like we're somehow better or something, that because we were initiated by Srila Prabhupada, we can see that many Prabhupada's grand disciples are much more serious and much more advanced in Krishna consciousness and pleasing Srila Prabhupada than a lot of us who happen to be his direct disciple. So I was wondering how we can adjust, what the proper attitude is, or the way we can sort of accept this kind of special recognition from being Prabhupada's disciple, with at the same time recognizing that there's a lot of devotees who are much serving Prabhupada much better than us and a higher platform.
Yeah, it's very nice of you to think that way. But there is a consideration of Vaishnava etiquette. The etiquette is, towards the superiors, there has to be respect. You see, relationship is based on proper reciprocation. The son may be more qualified than the father, but still, the son always maintains a respectful attitude towards the father, because the father is superior. The son may have become a big man. Compared to his position, he may be far superior to his father's. But you know, when he goes to his father, he maintains that humble, respectful attitude towards him. And that is how the relationship is established. Respect towards the superiors and affection to the juniors. Respect rises from junior to senior, and affection is showered from senior to junior, and friendship among equals. So these are the three considerations of relationship. So it has to be maintained, like as you said, like, because some devotees, some of us are Prabhupada's disciples, we are in a senior position. Seniority again is considered with four considerations, maybe five considerations. One is time of initiation. Another is age. Another consideration of seniority is varnashram consideration. But the ultimate consideration of seniority is one's spiritual advancement. That is the final consideration or ultimate consideration. Like example, Sukadev Goswami arrived in that assembly. Many, many exalted personalities were present at that time, including his father. But they offered him the Vyasasa, offered him that exalted position to speak, because everybody could recognize that he is the most advanced, spiritually most advanced personality. you. Okay, there's a question from internet, online question. It is said that knowledge and renunciation are the children of devotion. But could you please explain how one comes to bhakti without knowledge of it? Okay, good question. Bhakti Devi, she is the mother. And her two sons, Bhakti Devi is a personality, a female personality. And she has two sons. Who are those two sons? Jnana and Vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. So wherever the mother is, two sons are going to be there. But the question is, then how without the knowledge of devotion, one can become a devotee? The point is, one doesn't become a devotee due to his learning or knowledge. One becomes a devotee by the mercy of a devotee. The only criteria for becoming or receiving devotion, as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur pointed out in his Madhurya Kadambini, the only consideration, only reason for receiving devotion is mercy of a devotee. So much so that even Krishna himself cannot give devotion. It is only from a devotee that we have. When Krishna decided to distribute devotion, he didn't come as Krishna. He came as a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is merciful, but even more merciful is Nityananda Prabhu, his devotee. So this is how this Krishna consciousness or devotional service is transmitted. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna.